presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
So as a child growing up, I never went to church. I remember a couple of Easter and Christmas services with my parents, but it was a thing that we had to do. It was part of their job as general managers on South Mole Island. It meant nothing to me, nor did it matter to them. Although both were baptized as children, they never go to church or talk about it. My first introduction to God was religious education lessons in primary school. Started off okay, but I ended up hating it because the teacher would always make me sit on a chair, single me out, and pray for me in class because of the full body brace that I had to wear due to scoliosis, which was diagnosed at age 3. So if that wasn't already standing out enough, this unwanted attention put an even bigger target on me for bullies. I don't remember learning much about God, but I can see now that God knew me and protected me many times. I have lots of stories about close calls that could put chills down your spine, but I'm not here to talk about that. Attending an all-girls Anglican boarding school until year 12, struggled to make friends, was continuously bullied, and saw things girls my age should not be exposed to. At least that was my opinion. However, it wasn't all bad, and I experienced wonderful memories. But despite being an Anglican boarding school, I still didn't know God. Can't remember it ever being talked about in the boarding house. Yes, there were weekly mass, but it was more religion, wasn't actually about God that I can remember. Best memory from high school, I would say, would be a God moment when teachers and parents stood up at graduation dinner and gave me a standing ovation. As a struggling student who was told that I was too dumb for that school and too dumb to do the ATAR, I would bring down the school's reputation and I should not be staying. The principal at the time, however, said, "No, I see something in her and she will stay." She moved programs and introduced programs and basically confirmed my space at the school. She was a definite God moment provided by a godly lady. After leaving high school, I began TAFE in New South Wales before we as a family relocated to the Gold Coast. In a haze of depression and low self-esteem, working with my parents, living at home and desperately trying to find purpose in my life. A client of my father's hotel told him about the new youth pastor that was coming to his church and that maybe he could help. Dragging my mum along, I went to church. At first, I thought they were a bunch of crazy people. I'd never seen so many people singing and clapping and happy in one place. And I couldn't tell that they were faking it. It was genuine happiness. However, due to my age, I was not able to join the youth program, but I was still able to meet Nathan and his wife, and we are still friends to this day. The next week, I went back to the church and met the wife of the executive pastor. Lee is the lady who changed my life by giving me purpose and teaching me about God. Getting to know her and her husband, she took me under her wing and treated me like her own daughter. They took us camping and canoeing with their own daughters, and she started running a Bible study for young adults, which in the end is where I met Matthew. Unfortunately, life was about to throw another curveball when the announcement was made that Lee had terminal cancer and was not going to be around for much longer. I felt lost, scared, confused, angry. But thankfully, I had Matthew to help me through it. At the time, they requested no visitors, but I felt I needed to see her one more time to say goodbye. Thankfully, I listened to my mum and we went up to the hospital to say goodbye. She was dead 7 hours later. The funeral was a few days later, and we were invited to the private memorial service. But I didn't really want to go because I kept waiting for her to come back from the dead. You see, Lee was gone, and so was my faith in God, because she had told me that if I believed in God, that you will never die. So to me at the time, that was a lie, as she was still dead. Put up a good show and continued going to church because I thought that is what everyone expected. Knowing what I know now, I realised what she meant by that statement. She didn't mean a physical life resurrection. It was more of a spiritual life. A couple of years later, I was married and we moved to far north Queensland. Ended up attending a church in Townsville, just across the road from the unit Matthew and I had bought at the start of our infertility journey. I was recommended that I attended church as an intern to do a certificate for in ministry, learning what I could about God and religion. At the time, I really enjoyed spending that year paying for the course, the volunteer work, the daily prayer meetings, all while Matthew was 400 k's away, seeing each other maybe once a month when he would drive to Townsville. But after leaving Townsville and looking back, so many things seemed to be wrong. This wasn't some small, crazy, independent church. It was an AOG church. It was big, so I trusted they knew what they were doing. My only group of friends were the church people. They were my church, my study group, my work group, and my friends. So when one of them said, "The only reason you're not pregnant is because you're not praying hard enough," I believed it. They showed me Bible stories of people who could not have kids, such as Sarah, Rebecca, and they could after they prayed. Countless testimonies of people praying for them, and then suddenly they get pregnant at church. And when I was also led to believe that IVF is wrong and anti-Christian, I was left feeling really bad for having tried 3 times. Did I not have faith in God? Was this a test? Was I being punished? Because I was doing Certificate 4 in ministry, I was also told that I must act professionally in church and show no emotion, no crying. I remember once being told off because as an intern, I was better than that. I should keep my crying for at home. I told them at the end of the year that I was moving back to Hughenden to be with Matthew. They discouraged me, saying that my faith needed me to be here in the big city. This left me with a big question of doubt and left our unit in Townsville empty, available for us to use when we wanted it or to help others out. I was asked about letting a fellow church member who was trying to get away from family of drug use, use our place. We said no, but I was asked, pulled in for chats and told by the pastor how I was being a bad, selfish Christian for not helping people who needed help. After all, it was going to be sitting empty. What would I need it for? I relented. I didn't want to, but if that was what God wanted, then I would. Who was I to stand in his way? We had set some strict ground rules, all of which she broke. She left us with a bad reputation with our fellow neighbours and body corporate, and left us with $1,000 in debt. I hated myself. My belief in God and trust in people, especially those who were trying to help, those who were in power, walked out the door. To this day, I still regret getting involved and the events that took place. I'll admit that I'm still holding on to the resentment and unforgiveness due to those circumstances, but that is something that I am working on with God. We moved to Darwin for a short time, trying to find happiness, answers, and friends. I found a church in the morning, but because I was used to going to church twice a day, I started going to a different one at night as well. But when the night church said I must stop going to other churches or leave, it punched me in the guts, so I left them. Strange thinking about it, but as I write, But one of the first things I wanted to do when coming to Wildlife was to find a church. I needed family. Anyone else would have given up. So I went church shopping, which as you do when you move towns. While Matthew was at work at the railway, he just wanted to go to the Uniting Church. For a while, I thought that was what I was supposed to do, as my in-laws were ministers in the Uniting Church, and that's the church where I first went to, was the Uniting Church. I think I was the youngest there by 50 years. Next, I tried Life Church, as I was staying in the caravan park down the road from it. However, I felt ignored. I then tried Bethel Christian Centre and was welcomed here straight away. I started meeting with Kerry and Caleb and started to trust God again. Started to trust people. It didn't happen overnight, but it did happen. There have been lots of ups and downs in my journey of faith. I'm still chasing that ultimate happiness. I still get angry and want to cry out to God and demand to know the big answers, the big questions. Specifically, why did I have to spend all that money, energy, tears, and dreams on IVF and adoption applications, only for it to fail time after time or to be told that I am not suitable? Turns out the problem is God is not a vending machine or a genie you can use to get what you want in life. But the painful truth is, without the hysterectomy, my life wasn't worth living, as I was always sick, had multiple blood transfusions, iron infusions, multiple surgeries for cysts and endometriosis. And I know now that without the hysterectomy going wrong and almost losing my life, I would not have encountered God the incredible way that I did. Just going to quickly share some of the things that I saw. So I actually saw a lion in the hospital room with me. It was attacking something that else was in there that shouldn't have been. And it was walking with me, licking my hand, especially when I was fitting due to the septicemia. I could feel its tongue on my hand. I could feel the heat from its breath. I know it sounds crazy, but I know what I saw. And it was not the last time that I would see the lion. I saw it on the other side of the riverbank as I was waiting to jump in. It roared and scared me, alerting me to the fact that someone else was coming. Amazingly, after a short conversation, turns out he was also coming down to kill himself, but stopped when he saw someone down there. I can see God's plan in my suffering. It enabled me to fight my way through uni, make incredible friends, and become the person who I am today. So as for the question, what does it mean to have God in my life? There are a few answers. Firstly is grace. I admit that I've made mistakes in my life. I've been wronged and I have wronged people. I've been hurt and I've hurt people. But I also know that God has forgiven me. Forgiving myself, however, is a continuous battle. God's love is for me is complete. It is not based on performance or points. Secondly, that I am healed. I have an assurance that from the moment I take my last breath on earth, I will no longer be in pain. My body will be restored to wholeness and completeness. My sight will be restored and I will be able to see myself for the person God created me to be, a wonderful and beautiful creation. Thank you.
Thank you, Bibi. That was incredibly brave. Thank you for telling us your story, and a lot of us probably didn't know all of Bibi's story. Maybe like we've known snippets and stuff. So yeah, get ready for Mark to come up.
All right. So going back a few years, definitely less than 40. Sure, 100%. A little while longer. Very shortly after I was born, my parents moved into a house and corner deli combination that they'd bought. And my dad still carried on working at One Steel or BHP as it was back then. And Mum ran the shop with some few casual workers. But it was open early in the morning, and late into the evening. I closed at 8 p.m. And what that meant for me growing up was that me and my older brother spent nearly all of our time together, mostly entertaining ourselves, and he was sort of my absolute idol and hero. And we did everything together. He read me stories at night and taught me all about Lego and computers and board games and cricket out the back. And yeah, pretty well all of my early life memories are more related to my brother than anything else. And I wanted to sort of do everything that he did and look like him and like all the things that he liked. If we go forward a few years, one Sunday morning, Mum comes to us and says, "Get dressed, we're going to church." Now, up until that point, we had had no idea or concept of what that meant. The only sort of exposure to God we'd had was waiting for the hour of power to finish on Sunday morning on TV so we could watch cartoons. When we asked about why we were going, they told us it was because my older brother Luke was starting at their Catholic school and the high school, and they like you to be involved in a church. But I think looking back on it now, it was more because my dad's dad, Saul, had a mighty, mighty faith and was praying for his family to come back to church. So we started going to AOG, that's now the Life Unlimited Church. And we got involved pretty well, you know, Sunday school, and Luke, my older brother, went to youth group, and at one point he ended up going off to the youth camp. And when he came back, the youth leader dropped him home and was talking to Mum and Dad about how he had given his life to Jesus at the camp and become a Christian. And I was only, I think, 8 at the time, but I was listening to everything they were talking about, and for me, like, you know, that was my idol. He'd done this thing, and I knew right then, deep down, that that was the right thing to do, and I wanted to do it as well. So that night, Dad prayed with me in the back room of the house, and yeah, I gave my life to the Lord. And, in the beginning it was, you know, great. My brother and I spent lots of time learning church songs and memorising books of the Bible together. And, but then, like, sort of in his mid to late teens, I guess, he sort of drifted away a bit and got in with some rough crowds and wandered off. And that was really, really something that was hard for me because, yeah, I knew that from then I couldn't follow him in that, and that, yeah. So, around that time, I'm not really sure why, but we had moved over from the AOG to the Lighthouse Ministry Church, which I think was started by Caleb's dad. Yep. But at that point, it was sort of in decline, and Caleb's dad had moved on, someone else was there, and it was very low in numbers. And I really struggled to keep going to church with Mum and Dad at that point. And it wasn't until my friend that lived behind me, his name was Andrew Lean, he invited me to come to Bethel Youth Group one night to, you know, hang out and see what that was like. And I didn't really take much convincing at all, because at that stage I already had eyes for a pretty young Peterway girl. And that story all worked out pretty well. Yeah, so Caleb and Kerry were running the Bethel Youth Group at that stage. They were in their sprightly early 20s, I reckon. And we had a lot of fun, lots of activities, lots of friends and guidance and support and prayer from them. And definitely during that time that I began to come to my own serious sort of commitment with Jesus, and I guess it's sort of a evidence of like the long fruit from Caleb and Gary. And that, yeah, definitely seeds planted that I'm, yeah, that I'm still standing here with my family. There's evidence of that, I think. Yeah, so where am I now? I guess life obviously has high and low times, and there've been times, you know, of walking closely with God, and also times of barely being able to drag myself through the motion, and then times when I couldn't even do that. But yeah, we're still here. Yeah, there's something that God's been making me specifically aware of lately, and we had it hanging on the wall there a few months back, maybe. But Romans 12:2, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's sort of making me realise that my mind needs renewing, like, a lot, constantly, for the transformation to take place. Yeah, my default position in life is normally that I can do this, I've got it, there's nothing I can't sort out with my own might. And when things get hard, I always double down on that and think that I can drag myself out of the mess I'm in. But sometimes God will give me a little reminder, like when we have a leaders meeting and Kerry gives us lollies and scriptures and I get Philippians 4:13. You know what that is? Yeah. Christ gives me strength, yeah. But if we come back to, like, yeah, renewing our minds, so renewing our mind with the word and with worship or with prayer, or for me, you know, renewing with fellowship, or I can, like, renew with a podcast when I'm on the bus on the way to work, then life is anchored by a firm foundation, whether it's good or bad times. And, like, as a bit of a bonus, like, when you renew, sort of the desires of your heart sort of start to align with what God wants for you and what he's saying. Yeah. It's almost like a life hack. If you but it actually works, yeah. 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 Yeah, I think I'll just finish with something Caleb said a few months ago in one of his sermons. I was listening to it on a podcast. It's just, life's better when we do it with Jesus.
Oh, that's so good, isn't it? It's so good to hear from each other and to be encouraged. Do you feel encouraged? Yeah, I do. I almost feel a bit teary. Janice, would you like to share something? Yep.
So this week we just had a psychiatrist appointment, and I was told that I could go off one of my medications, and it's been helping me a lot with my, I was diagnosed with something a while ago, but it might actually just be something simple like autism. And my psychiatrist said I might not even have the condition that I was told that I had 7 years ago. So I think it's a God-given miracle gift that it happened, because I don't think the psychiatrist would have picked it up if God didn't heal me from the illness that I had. So I was really grateful that he told me that, because I was praying for the past 7 years or so, and he finally recently told me that. Thank you.
That's good. Yeah. That's a goosebumps one, that one is.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.